March 3rd, 89, Santa Fe, Adano, Biosonics.
Discussed today in the class is all different levels of sound have come through the centuries. Application in reference to your own health and well-being before you work with another person. You first, they second. That's why Jesus said in his own way, you gotta love God first with all of your mind. You ain't got no room for nobody. Then you gotta love with all your heart. So you gotta be aware that you got a heart that pumps. Then you got to love with all your strength. That means you gotta breathe, or else they bury you. And with all your soul, I don't form God, but I know you're living soil. There are 144 elements that vibrate at a certain frequency rate, measurable, functional, and can perform any kind of magical miracle in this universe. But how to get there is the joke. Then he says, and love your neighbor, that's anything next to you, as yourself, not like yourself, as yourself. That means you and the other person are in the same frequency range, identically operating, and the only differential is that they breed on their own and you breed on your own, and you can't breed for them. You can help them to trigger their breathing apparatus like a quick jump, but you can't do it for them. So each person, in essence, first has to relate to what they are, not who they are. And that's the real jump off. That's why I haven't focused on the public, and I don't focus on the public. I focus on the initiate. I didn't come back for any other purpose than that. So the initiate is a person who I'm more concerned, because they're the ones who are made the journey through many lives looking for a what, in a who state. And you, many of you here have done the good old-fashioned, like me, avoidance course. You know what the avoidance course is? I take the vow of discipline. But we abuse it, then we go avoidance next. Now we come to the new age, we call it the new age. We're conscious control. Where you will no longer be avoiding or abusing the principles of nature around you, but you are generating the conscious control. But in order to do that, you got to go back to the fundamental physics of what you are. And there's no way to get around that. The fundamental physics of what you are is sound. And the tape that you're going to see is going to deal with sound waves to the level where it actually integrates with matter and moves matter to the extent that it can be controlled by the human mechanism. So the doctor who is going to present it, I've been with him a couple of days and we had a lot of their resources, and he still said the yogis and the swamis are way ahead of them. But he's a very wonderful man. We both him, and he's like a you and Adano, we both got 1 foot in the ground, the other foot up in the air. You know what to call me, both feet up. I said, no, sorry. I like the agricultural language and I like the technical language. One is nebulous, it's all right, it's agricultural, it'll make you feel guilty every all the way around, and the technical will make you committed to accurate what you see. He says, yeah, I agree with you. He says, we all agree that that's where we're going, and we can't avoid it. There's no way to get around it. He says, we've gone past where chemical will stop a problem. There's no way a chemical can stop a problem. It's running out. We have to look at what we are, and what we are is sound waves. And this is the real breakthrough now. But how to make these sound waves work for you for the first time? Not in the imaginative level, or in the program level, or in the suggestion level, or the placebo level. They're valid.
Just say that again.
Placebo level.
But what about the placebo level?
We're not looking for the sound waves to work for us in the placebo level. That level is called mind over matter. You can get tricked in it. That doesn't say it doesn't work, don't get me wrong. But you can get tricked when you don't understand what you're doing with it. We're more concerned with where sound works in reference to the speed of your brain. How you relate to how healthy you keep your body. Your body is already the temple of God. You ain't gonna make it anymore. All he's gonna ask you to do is clean up your act. Because he's inside of you as breath. He can unplug me anytime. There, man, the game is over. And I learned that the hard way by falling off a building. I ain't got a single thing here in this universe other than thank you. I love you. But how to make that kind of a thing actual scientific functional that you can measure and know you're not kidding yourself, that's what we're talking about. This is the first real breakthrough we've got. And so the units that we're going to show you is, in a strange way, when I first got one, those same units that you got there, I thought I got gypped. Years ago, I thought I got gypped. They call it a massage unit. Well, it's not a massage unit. Today, the AMA and the FDA accept it as a massage unit, so anybody can use it without any question. They don't need a license to use that unit. You can go buy it in the store. But it's not a massage unit. That unit happens to be made by the man who's gone on cosmic vacation. He ain't around no more. But what he left to these guys in the tape is the advanced science that we got today. And the initiates are the ones who got to jump on it. Because the initiates are the ones who've been exposed to the metaphysical writings of all the great teachers of the Orient, telling us sound current, audible live stream, God is word, Hebrew, all going right back. But for the first time, we're locking in to an actual way to measure and integrate it into the body. So that's what is important about it. And the machine does three things. I have one machine that does two, and one machine that does one. They're very expensive by themselves. That little machine happens to be the Excalibur of the modern age. The man who put it together didn't realize what he did. And those who got it didn't realize what they got. Well, when I stumbled across it, I thought I got gypped. After 10 minutes, the dog answering is hot. And they go, and I thought it was vibrating, and then it cuts out. And it's a shock that I got. Turned out that the machine wasn't what I thought it was. Until this tape came along, what you're seeing now, and these people here, then I saw what I had. I was carrying the most simple, complex unit in a very practical way. Totally, it's like walking with a diamond in your hand and calling it a stone. Till some seer comes and says, hey, we do that. Well, this is not a story. So I give you $5 for it. I'm going to make $5,000 in it now. But that's what the diamond is. The unit will make noise like a resonance sound. When I set it for you, that will vibrate through. And the unit will get hot, which will take 20 minutes on a separate unit to give the heat, like a hot blanket or a hot device to emulsify clots and different things in blood. But this unit is going to get hot. And the unit will vibrate. So that will work the muscles and the nerve. So you got all three, but it's hard to use it. But it's very interesting that it comes in one single loop. But to understand where its origin comes back, we have to go back to some waves. Now this is not an ultrasonic unit. I have an ultrasonic unit in my van, and I use it for certain problems. This is a transmission of some waves, so it's known as intrasound. It's a vast difference than ultrasonic. You have a videotape And I know many of you may not have a video with it, but you'll see it there. That will give you a reminder of this, what you got. And there's a musical tape that you play when you work in the room with a person or on yourself. The musical tape is already set to the frequencies in the body. We're now going to see the origin of how this was all brought together and how some does move matter.
Maybe I can get it to go on this time.
Projectionist?
We have what is called a norm range, a norm range for everyone, and that's what the unit is set for, a norm range. That's what you're going to be covering in the class. We have the norm range, and that's how come we have a musical scale. Otherwise, there'll be no music possible to imitate it. Sound is noise, but organized noise is music.
Are most of heart transplant doctors aware of the frequency?
Oh, yes.
They are?
They're getting more aware because that's the thing that is becoming obvious to their transplant.
Okay.
The resonance frequency of this object.
But how would you test to find out if
that's why they're not donate hearts now. They have a resonance device that measures the resonance.
I see.
And then when the patient comes in, it's categorized already what his body resonance would be. So let's say each nationality has different resonances too.
Mm-hmm.
And male and female have different resonances. So they would like always to get close relative donors. But if you can't get a close resonance, then they'll have to find the close resonance donor.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be bypassing donation of heart anyhow, because we found that we can do what is called an implant valve correction and not take out the heart. So we can take out the valves and put in what is called a plastic valve and keep the same heart going. And the valves are the ones that are eaten away anyway from the blood, but those are the ones that can be placed in. So that would be the new process in heart surgery now. So you wouldn't be actually doing a heart transplant.
How long will the valve last before it's eaten away? Do they know yet?
According to the tests that are going on now, the valves are they're plastic, they don't break them.
But doesn't that plastic have a frequency that would not be harmonic?
That's what they're setting to. Because you'll find as you go to the next tape, you come up to those tapes, it's not what you have to know. Your body is plastic.
Donna, will we be determining the corrected frequency ourselves and working with the patient, or will we?
This is set. When you go to let me do the workshop, you will see what this is doing. So.
Is this tape that tape?
Yes.
Thank you.
You have a copy and you have the sound waves of the body. And you have a machine to work, so you got a lot of things to cover for you tomorrow.
Okay. But the next things we're going to see are also on this tape?
Oh, you mean it continues?
The next things we see are also on this tape?
Yes, everything
okay.
Is the whole tape. You have three sections of it.
Okay.
What you're going to see, the next section is a person being tested. You have to know, because that's exactly what your own is going to run through your own body to identify it. And it goes through the tongue, and it goes through the big toe, and it forks in like a tuning fork. Now, the most important notes in the scale fall within these categories. That's why we got to recognize where they are and how they're set up in your body. That's a funny joke about it. They wouldn't change for nobody, not even me. But not break up my body 1,000 times and break the violations against them till I quit. And then after I accept them, I'll be actually off.
Thank you.
So the blue goes down straight, divides out by the hip into the leg, and then it crosses over to the shoulder into the front. It happens that the chart is drawn this way. Normally it could put it this way. But because it's drawn this way, you have the outline. The thumb is away from the big toe. You don't get fooled unless you guys just identify the actual thing. Now, these lines are called the zones. Freeway is not an exit. You got many exits on a freeway, but a freeway is either going west or east, north or south, and it's numerically numbered to indicate to the traveler where they're going. These zones don't give a hoot who you are, what you are, yourself, male or female, red, black, or this is the way they go. Right through your body have zones, and they have exits. So to be certain that you got the zone going right through you, and there are five, and they travel through you. So the first one is in the blue spectrum. And it responds to a musical note referred to as C in the scale. Then the next one is green on both sides of the body to go right into the index finger. First toe after the big toe.
Is that why we have five toes and five?
But there is a group of people who have five to six fingers and six toes.
Dwarfs, right?
No. There was an actual group of people that did like that at one time.
And who were they?
It had to do with balancing. The tribe still exists. They're called the Six Finger, Six Toe tribe.
Where?
They live in Africa. Mm-hmm. Near or closer to India. Where Indian Africa is joined.
Do they have any other special talent as for just balancing?
It's for balancing. You can balance their body much more agile than the five finger.
Why do they need?
But they don't evolve.
Why do they need to be able to do that? Why do they need that extra balance?
Their type of vegetation that allows them to feed themselves are coconut trees.
Ah, to climb up the trees?
So they have much more agility to climbing up the trees, 6 fingers, 6 toes than the 5 fingers.
Are they human?
Yeah. But the thing is this, their evolutionary level is low. But their survival level is high.
In the phone?
Oh,
this is the back.
Does this go down the back? Hmm? The green line goes down the back?
Yes, it goes down the back. We're doing the back first. We're not doing the front, we're doing the back first. That big picture over there, the man, that big one, that's the one we're doing.
The big one?
That big one.
Mm-hmm.
You can, also do the small one too. We're letting the small one is to give you an idea how the big one is set up with the actual parts of the anatomy. You'll find that your parts of anatomy here. As they break down, because certain people are knocked out. And we saw that the parts of anatomy can't be held together to be a piece of the body unless the five frequencies are going through.
Would you say that one more time?
A part of your anatomy cannot be a part to function efficiently unless those five frequencies pass through them.
Okay. Plus the five fingers are one.
The five frequencies have to pass through the part of the anatomy for it to function. So you have to be familiar with your running in that part of your body. So when you tell me you have a problem in a certain part of your body, I'll excuse you for being unfamiliar. You're working to correct it. Now I'll teach you to eat. But then when you become aware of what you are, you know you did it yourself with your mouth. Then tomorrow I'll vacuum out all your pronouns, adverbs, and adjectives. So your body will be clear. And ask this young man how you feel today.
How do you feel today?
I feel great.
Maybe tomorrow you can do what you call your vacuuming.
Uber.
And that's the thing that sends us back reincarnation upon reincarnation, those residual words.
Are these lines, these zones,
yeah,
they're parallel on
the
head?
They go right through the whole body, in and out of your body.
The blue one's down the middle.
You're walking in all eight of them.
Okay, well, the blue one's right down the middle, and then the green ones are on either side?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, the blue and the green. The green represents the gas frequencies in your body. The blue represents the sonic frequencies in your body. And the tone C goes through the blue, and D goes through the green.
D goes through the blue, and D goes through the green. And this is gas. Green is gas.
No, it's good because the first one is the sonic.
Then the next one is yellow. Runs through on either side of the green. And runs right through your middle finger and middle toe. And that one represents temperature. Either cold or hot in your body.
And what note is that?
E. 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 The sound that you first or infer or resonate to. E.
What is it doing? It's swirling around the
Don't confuse the other things. Do the lines. The straight lines going down from here.
Just a straight line.
No swirls yet.
That has nothing to do with it. There's no these lines that go from head to foot up all the zones.
Okay.
There are many exits, like off a freeway. Don't go get confused. The exit. The freeway is a freeway. Finger or ring finger. sounds coming from the regulates liquid in you. Goes through the ring finger. And it's in the orange color. Divides up again like the rest. And that's the F note in you.
What does the yellow zone regulate?
Temperature. And the orange represents the regulate the liquid frequency in you.
It's the neatest.
So here comes John and here comes Terry. Yay! Hi, green and yellow, everybody's laughing. Blackwell. You know what? I'll put green and yellow and blue together for because they need to take those boys for dinner. Yeah.
Wow, pretty colors.
Yeah, you missed a lot.
Oh, no, ketchup.
You
got a chalk there, you just draw everything up on the
other. And you're done with red, pass it around.
Oh, the last one is the red zone. And that regulates the crystalline condition of the mechanism. And it runs up to the side of the body, right into the little finger. Crystalline. The actual crystals of your body, when they finally harden up from a sonic level into a gaseous level, into a thermal reaction, and into a liquid configuration. And then the actual content of the liquid is the residual crystal. So different degrees of temperature make the liquid take different densities. And the different densities are referred to as crystalline formation based upon the temperature reaction upon the liquid state. And the heat of that temperature condition or the cold of that temperature condition will determine how the liquid will harden up or stay emulsified for the crystalline substance to be stored, retained, or evaporated out. But you cannot lose a crystal. It will settle sooner or later into a solid substance. And you only can do two other things with it. Send it back to its electromagnetic field or its atomic field.
And that's kind of what breaks them down.
And sonics does that. sonics will start loosening up the gaseous condition of the crystal after the moves back from a crystal into a liquid state, and from a liquid state into a temperature state, and then from a temperature state into a gaseous state, and from a gaseous state into a sonic state. So in the end, the sound waves regulate the cohesiveness of the crystals coming together at their different speeds.
So it's... it is not on behalf of the body to have crystalline structures in it. Is that right? The idea is to constantly keep it in motion.
The crystalline substance in your body, there are only the calcium in the bone that has to stay fixed to function. Any other crystal must be in an emulsified state. Now, if ever it loses that emulsified state, it can only do one of two things: go too fast or go too slow. If it goes too fast, it'll create heat. If it goes too slow, it'll create cold. Then anytime you bruise the skin by some sonic impact, then you have a crystalline deposit coming up in the area. And it will harden in the area and stay in that area till it's corrected. So your skin can't do anything more than that. It's just flexing it back and forth between hard and soft, fast and slow. So when you take a crystalline all the way back to its electrical frequency and back right into its sonic frequency, it loses its density, but it remains with its own fixed electrical potential to be a representation of either calcium, iron, potassium, and that is predetermined by the geometrical quanta that arranges them to look like that all the time. So if an iron has four triangles and two circles and three squares configuring to make a shape, all this, those numbers will be there, and you can identify it as an iron molecule. In fact, and change. See what I mean? So the sonics will keep it like that. But then the sonics will push them to come together to make something as an answer. Now, if the sonics doesn't exist here, the crystals will stay floating and settle, and they'll constrict and dilate on their own, but they won't form nothing. But they'll constantly come close and push away. That's what they'll be doing. That's the magnetic field. Now the moment it starts to take a shape, that's the first resonance that's going through. Then the only thing that is valid now, if the shape becomes a three-dimensional object and can lift itself up, then we have manifestation of a workable nature. A two-dimensional object is practical. You need a three-dimensional object to work with, because you are a three-dimensional object. And you lift up and move independent of the container. And therefore, the resonance has to be such fixed to provide this particular condition to exist. And the result is evidence that there are only five. Now, the musical scale is set to what? How many notes? There's seven. One repeats itself, representing what we call hypo or hyper. The hyper note is the one range of that same note, and the hypo is the other. So you have the two extremes. Hyper, hypo, and then you have the fixed. So your five fixed notes make you up. and the hyper and hypo notes make you sick. And that's where we come across. Now we're gonna, once you finish that, then you do the front before you draw the hyper notes.
What's the note for red?
What's
the note for red?
The note for red is G. C, D, E, F, G puts you together and keeps you together. And if you muck it up, then you know what muck you up. A and B muck you up. You're not really about this. First, you got to get the zones in the front and the back lined up in your body. Your nose will not be your nose, and if you never did a transplant. Red is the fifth one, and it's going through this little thing here, and it's the note of G.
These lines repeat on the front in the same configuration, right? Each color going into the same figure remains constant.
So do these lines or zones put certain organs to?
Yes, they go right there. That's where you have a chart with the anatomy.
So we have to make sure
you make sure that it goes through each part, because that's exactly the organ or the area of the body that's going to be subjected to those frequencies. And what they're pulling them together.
Because if I move yours, where am I going to put yours? In fact, you probably ought to put it down. So I have to go out this in there. I'm just pretty sure because it's something that I want to get in for. Yes,
now the front is the next after the back. And even when you're going to treat others, you treat yourself first. But it's best to work with someone on you on the back if you don't have a chance each. But if you're working on yourself, you're working in front. You always want to work on somebody. If you work on another person, you work on the back first and in the front.
Don't move.
What they do, they send you to school to study the parts of the anatomy and make sure you know your parts and your chemistry before they'll teach you technique. I'm giving you the technique.
No.
And you can go to school and study your parts. You can know all the parts, but you don't know how to work it or good it is. Same as the car, it's got beautiful parts, it's not timing or any place. You'll be recognizing that the parts of your anatomy only within a certain location of the structure are pre-organized to appear as that part by the resonance frequency that holds it together. And so if you don't know the resonance frequency and you think you're part from where you see it is, and you're going to try to fix it, and it doesn't fix, then you give it all kind of medicine and it doesn't break, then we find out that those substances are not getting through to the actual condition. No. But if you can find out the actual frequency that regulates the part of the anatomy to make it appear as a part, then you can send that frequency, and that part is forced to accept its original frequency and correct itself. And what you're going to find in the end, because that frequency is already set up in your big mouth, you can talk yourself back now into health. But that's not placebo. Placebo began like that centuries ago. Hypnosis began like that. Today we know those are no longer necessary. We can actually lock into the active frequency and the resonant factor in our own voice and direct the correction in the tissue.
We eventually arrive at a place where we can use our own voice.
Yeah. That's already been done. The research is already going on. This has been going on for 30 years now. We're not telling the public. I think the public is ready for this kind of knowledge. But we're realizing if we don't have the public, there's going to be a lot of sick people going through chronic states. That's why we try to work with the initiate first. With the initiate, they can understand why there are five suns in the body. They can understand why five are all up together. The average public wouldn't understand what five is doing. So early men used to go to the masters, and the masters of what? They're not masters of you. They're masters of their own health processes, how it works, and they were your initial therapists trying to teach by agricultural methods how to stay healthy. So they accepted the individual as a disciple, a student, not as a patient. So they weren't interested in patients. They were interested in generating a certain routine of behavior to maintain health in the individual. But then it got locked down into churchianistic behavior and all kind of ritualism got lost in this true perspective. And then it took a scientific approach to weed out the generalization of the agricultural language and validate what they were saying. And now we can approach the thing more objectively that health is a lifestyle that requires the understanding of our structure and what we are. Not who we are. And so the modern therapist is what they call it, the modern guru today. So the ethnomorph guru, the G-U-R-U. You are your own guru.
You are you.
So wake up and master yourself.
Well, there it is. Yeah.
Okay. It is because of these laws we find that the most outstanding quick method therapy that has survived through the centuries and never been really understood was reflexology. Because it reflects back certain things. As they come that snake man in our own image and likeness, made of fingers. So it is the fastest method by laying of the hand. But most people again got carried away with the frequencies that were they felt in their body, and they thought that was what was actually the reflex processes that we are involved in that turns on that what is known as the cellular switches. But they are in a certain location of the body for acute or chronic conditions. And they are in certain dimensions of width. Now, how did that came accurate location, which is called acupuncture? There's no such science called acupuncture. And that was just a name given because they wanted to be accurate as to the identical electrical resonance. So they went over the body, and whenever they could touch and get a quiver, that part would start to balance itself. So the apparent substance they were using was a piece of wire. It started off with a piece of gold, silver, and ended up metal. When they used to call it puncture, they thought they were sticking it into the skin. But really, they weren't really sticking. They were aware that the point is, it's like a well. It sucks in the object a certain and can be stirred in without causing a problem and yourself a frequency like throughout the body like a circuitry. So early man had already discovered the electromagnetic fields of the body. Today we can't get around with this. No doctor will argue that anymore because there's enough electrical equipment to shut them up by just passing over one hand and show him the electrical readings, the hertz readings that are coming off of each one versus a non-identified spot that isn't legitimate. A legitimate spot is giving a reading all the time. So you're not going to argue with that anymore, that's over. Since it's transmitting out a negative charge, a positive charge can be sent back to it. A negative charge is like a signal to tell the outsider that the body is breaking down, as you mentioned in the tape, that this doctor tried to tell people that the body could be sending out signals. They thought he was a crazy nut who believed that the body said. But he actually had these equipped to measure dryness and wetness
coming together.
Do you crack your bones? Is that a crack? Did I crack my bones just now? Not valid.
No.
I couldn't crack a bone because it'd be parted before I put in the garbage. You can't crack your bone. But that's because we associate that sound to call it crack. But if you were to crack the bone, you wouldn't have any bones after a while. You turned a powder. That sound you heard is a jointal reaction of air and fluid in the tissue where they touch. But the bones don't touch per se as calcium. There's a liquid and an air and a small tissue or resonant substance that separate. And when you twist, it makes a click like a key in a lock. So you think you're cracking your bones. You're not cracking your bone. You couldn't crack your bone. So that very same resonance factor is an indicator if your bone will function rationally in those areas. And if it didn't, they'll tighten up and get break down. So the actual sonic resonance between the joints is essentially necessary for the mechanism to be flexible.
So people that go around popping their fingers all the time and snapping their necks, that's good stuff.
There are only two ways. If you pull it this way, you stay healthy. If you pull it this way, you end up with a disease called arthritis. So you must know which way to make that sound between those jointal movements. You're entitled to pull them this way. Hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Entitled to pull it that way because that's what keeps it flexible and it prevents it from breaking down. But if I do like that, I squirt the fluid out between the two bones, which lubricates it, and then the bone will lock itself by suction and its own magnetism will start erosion of the bone.
Like
that's the word for what you call arthritic or atrophying. of the bone.
What about the neck?
It's the same thing with the neck.
Yeah. So you can go up, but
no. Your neck has this particular freedom of figure eight. See, this way, down, and then that way. Up. You have total figure eight, and then forward and back, and then right. Pull to the right that way, and then the jaw goes to the left, and then you pull back this way. And that's the basic three movements for the neck. So you can move it. But if the neck muscle by figure eight is loose, you don't have no problem in your cervical. Because the cervicals are already set like joints, so you go back in and out. Now the music, the five notes run around your head. So there's no way you can get away from that C, D, E, F, G. So they say God made man a stiff neck race because all the frequencies rush up into the neck to lock. And the only one that locks it is A or B. And they lock it by A by trying to be too fast. They lock it by B by being too slow and don't want to move. So this is what locks it. So anytime you lock it down, you'll find it gets sore. And you have two types of soreness. A dry soreness that burns, or a wet soreness that makes mucus comes up. So the wet soreness is the slow one, and the dry soreness is the fast one. Okay, we got the front now. Is it all drawn out? Front and back here. And the sum is C, D, E, F, G, running across from the middle to the end, right? C, D, E, M. Now, going up from the foot, these are the exit points of the body now. You have the seven colors, which represents the spectrum. And the Eastern people call them chakra references. And so you go from your foot right up to the tailbone. That's below the genital organs. And that's all in the red zone. It runs across.
You're on the front.
There in the front. You see it in the front.
Yeah.
You can do it in the back if you want, but the back you leave it so you have to draw it if you're that particular thing. So we draw it in the front so you can see it.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. Relax.
The first one moving up, the others move up, back. You notice we start out blue going to red, right?
Yeah.
Now we're moving back from red to blue, right up to violet. So from your foot right up to the first bone, call it anal bone or tailbone, or coccyx bone, is the red range.
So on the figure, the straight line is the zone. Like those little two marks at the ankle and then right across the crotch.
No,
that's
the thing
on the
ankle is not that. It starts from the sole of the foot.
The sole.
Most little thing in the ankle is entirely different. Don't go confused. The whole foot falls within the red zone, so it goes from this, you have to touch polarity, you have to make a contact to work. So when Jesus came along and he washed the head of his students, what he said? Did he wash their heads or he washed their feet? No, he washed their feet. They're lucky jerks. So wash their head. He said that if you be not washed in me, you're not saved. More people don't understand what that is done. So there we know. If the feet don't make contact to the direct references of the frequencies in the body, you break down. So your foot is the total print off of your whole body in the front.
The whole thing?
Yeah. So you're looking at the whole print off right here. All the parts of your anatomy are lined up from head to in the sole of the foot. And then the next from the coccyx right up across the sacrum is the orange line. That's the genital organs in the sacral area. Up to that point, it is orange. And you go right up to the navel, under the rib cage, there is the yellow. That's the lumbar. The seven lumbars. And then right up to the chest, below the line of the shoulder, that's the green, and that's the thoracic area. Not about a thoracic, line of the shoulder. Just the long way the cervical connects, the thoracic. And from the cervical, which is the neck, right up to your forehead, right up to the, all the way up to the first thoracic. So your head hooks out to it. It's under your chin, your head sits on top of it, and the rest, that's the thoracic is through. So you see, you got the blues, you got choked up throats.
What'd you call the, what was the green again?
Thoracic.
I know, I thought you said that was blue.
Hmm?
You said blue is thoracic. That, yeah.
Green is cervical. The blue is the cervical. The green is the thoracic. You have 12 thoracic and 7 cervical and 7 lumbars. And then your pituitary goes up from the throat up to the forehead. That's all the pituitary range. Point between the eyebrow, that's the indigo range. And from with the eyebrow to the top of the skull is the violet range, and that's the pineal gland area.
And the purple is the Valbiana?
That's right, Valbiana. Mm-hmm. Indigo is more good.
Thoracic.
Indigo is what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It stops here. Indigo stops here. It stops here. Right above the first cervical. See, your head sits on the first cervical. Can you do that? It sits on the cervical. And then the top there is the violet. And the forehead to the top is the violet.
This range, is it right below the rib?
Is the yellow.
Is the yellow right below the rib?
That's the lumbar.
Is that your favorite blue?
Nobody's got blue.
Pituitary and the lumbar
job. Oh. this is that time.
The lumbar sits on top of the orange area.
Yeah.
And the orange area is really small.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be confused.
And can you tell me what the green is where it's running?
That's the thoracic.
So the top of the lung.
The shoulder comes up. These bones. Right here, yes. This clavicle. Blue is cervical.
Oh, I see it.
Don't you call it?
No. It looks big.
Is the yellow called?
That's the radic here.
The lumbar.
Lumbar is the yellow.
I made a joke.
What is the orange? Sickle. Or sickle.
There's
a reason why they call it sickle. I know it's a song of the similar like sacred. Or sacrament. The life principle of the sperm and ovum are stored in there.
Stored where?
In the sacrum region, or sacral region, which you call the sex organs. But most people only think of the storage of those substances for reproduction of a human body. You don't know what it really does. Storage there is not just for the reproduction of the human body. The storage there has a definite function in the rejuvenating and rebuilding the body. So the very same sperm and ovum that can be bring or brought together to form a human body can set up its own cellular rejuvenation and respiration. So the yogis, that's the unified conscious individual, first attempted the rejuvenation by avoidance. But then the condition showed up that avoidance wasn't a valid state. It was a good state to start off with by the fact that the overuse of those organs could drain the body into a breakdown rate. And the avoidance ratio from the abuse would be considered a natural or rational reaction of an opposite to any kind of a behavior to the opposite. That would be the rational agricultural approach. But when we realized even that was limited, none of the two extremes were valid, to abuse or to avoid. Then it began to peak like a triangle. And that's where control came in now for the first time, where we understood that that's how Tantra yoga science began and the Kundalini science began. They began to look at the regenerative potential locked up in their cellular harmonics. And through certain resonances, they can cause these cellular harmonics to be released to set up the rejuvenation of the structure. So cellular rejuvenation is a natural phenomenon, but it leads to non-breakdown, and it has several potentials all locked up, but you have to become aware of how these forces are working inside of you at different intervals. And the intervals are based on the lunar cycle, because the woman's body sets the lunar cycle for that menstrual movement, and in terms of the blood and the iron content. So if the
body begins to reabsorb its own potential at certain intervals by respiration, then there is minimal loss to the body, and there is a regeneration of the cellular structure in the body. And that has nothing to do with accidents. It has to know when these forces are working and how to direct it. And there's where resonance or sonics comes in. Now, which time of the month you like to sing the most? Lunar time or solar time?
Lunar.
Mm-hmm. Why? You say you want to go bananas in the moon? You're singing it. But that's a fact, because the resonance factor is more in regenerating their cellular structure in the lunar period. This is how we did first zeroed in on it. That there was a connection between the resonance factor and the lunar cycle.
Because the lunar time generates a stronger regeneration.
Yes, because the moon is coming closer to the planet Earth, setting up a vocal resonance in your mechanism and the liquid resonance in your mechanism to accentuate that particular pressure. And when it accentuates the pressure makes your voice have more of a resonance. And therefore you can receive. The time when Mr. Caruso broke the glass happened to be around full moon. His voice reached the highest crescendo possible. Therefore, we saw it was a pressure principle that could create the sonics to do the. And now, after many years of research, we've actually got the actual frequency now down where we can play it on a tape and slap the glass. Okay. Now, and you can do the other little 2 feet. Put in the colors on the other 2 feet. You'll be certain of you, and then you'll see the areas there. Parts of the anatomy are falling within each one of those divisions.
How are we
going to
remember all this?
By working on your foot. Yeah. Whenever you have a problem, you just go back to the foot and identify where it falls within the range of the foot. For instance, now you got a pain in the shoulder. What color range would it be?
Yellow. No, green. Right?
Green.
So, now, from what you were saying earlier, or somebody was saying earlier, if there's lots of stress in the shoulders, like if you feel knots in your shoulders, that's definitely going to interfere with your ability to see.
Yeah.
It's going to break down your ability to see.
That's right. So why carry the world in your shoulders? Do like Atlas. When Atlas was told to drop the world, he didn't want to believe. He said, no, it's not going to float, it's going to collapse. I got to carry the world on my shoulders. And this boy says, no, you don't have to carry the world on your shoulders, drop it. So when Atlas let go of the world off his shoulders, the world kept spinning. That's the Greek mythology. Stop carrying the world on your shoulders. You need a new Atlas.
Why is the purple line different on the 2 feet? In one, it goes through the pituitary point and on the other one it doesn't. Is it supposed to? Is that the line?
Of course it
does. Oh, they're both not true, but that's just the way it is drawn.
It should go through them.
It should go through.
Okay.
They go through.
I screwed up. I had
covered
above the
too.
Shoulder. Never copy me. I told you this. You don't listen.
She does.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
You
top things.
You
gotta
stick that.
Who's keeping the pins for the couch?
I'm the
blue and
the green.
Why don't you do the keeper
for
the couch?
I'll do
that.
Frequencies of the red is in the A. We are reading it across the body now. That's A. And the orange is the O. Or B, you may call it B.
B?
B, A, B, and then the next one is C, that's the yellow.
B is orange though.
Yeah, B is orange, A is red, and yellow is C again, going across the body. And the D is the green, going across the body. And the E is in the blue across the throat, and the F is across the forehead, and the G is the top of the skull. So you have zones going this way, and the exits across, coming across. We have made up a fantastic song with this. Those other lines you see on the back and in the front, like a figure eight, that will be described tomorrow when you start using the instrument. So we leave that tomorrow.
Is that the flow of energy?
Those are flows of the energy and how to move the instrument so you don't create problems in your body. A one-way street is good to go in reverse. Where?
A wrong history, what?
It can go in reverse in a wrong history.
I still didn't understand.
You don't make keep going with the flow.
What was
if you go in reverse on a one-way street, you're going the wrong way, maybe.
Oh, can you make?
There's no maybe, right?
See, that's wrong. If your own societal behavior sets up certain conditions, don't think you invented it or you have such a marvelous ingenuity to take it and put it out. This mechanism is operating with all the laws that you could ever dream up to be functional inside of you before you even discovered it. But we never knew it before until we had to deal with it when it broke up. That the body was already a complete circuitry set for all the rules that you'll ever obey the function efficiently. That's how come the doctors are saying now the chemical world is a visible relationship of what is, and the electromagnetic world is the invisible relationship of how it regulated. So between the two force fields of solid and non-solid, there is a functional reciprocity for all the rules that will ever obey the function efficiently. That's how come the doctors are saying now the chemical world is a visible relationship of what is, and the electromagnetic world is the invisible relationship of how it regulated. So between the two force fields of solid and non-solid, there is a functional reciprocal exchange. You may refer to it as in the old churchistic way as God running your life, or you may take it in the terms of the modern idiom. This is a technological approach, is that invisible frequencies operate visible objects.
The invisible hands.
So the classification of such a behavior is referred to as cosmological ecology. So solar eating is now being referred to as ecological nutrition. They don't like the word solar because it makes them feel they're astrologers.
Sun worshippers.
So they rather be called ecologists.
Ecologists.
So, but they love longevity lifestyle because it's nothing to do with immortality, which makes you feel you're holier than thou. So if you're practicing immortality lifestyle, you're holier than thou. But if you're practicing longevity lifestyle, you can hang around as long as you like.
Get your nose to grindstone. You work on business.
So this is the terminology, but you're getting the same result in there. Okay, a few more things and then we wind it up. One is that these frequencies run through the body as zones.
Okay.
They run across and they represent the same signs, but they work their way up from the foot to the head. Indeed. And then they work from the head out to the hands. That's clear for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Would you repeat the first one?
Work from foot to head.
Foot to head.
And then center of head out to hands.
From in the forehead out to the hands to the outside of the body, and then from the foot up to the head.
Okay.
That's the way they work. Now, your biggest friend and worst enemy, and your biggest enemy and worst friend is your mouth. Because your mouth can incorporate all the five frequencies going down in the form of the zones and all of the exits off the body from the foot to the head going up across in three pitches. And that is, boom, can be made in three different ranges with the mouth. A low, a medium and a high. See, you can make and your mouth can do it. Only one problem. We don't have the staying power long enough to the human voice to make a sufficient transitional change in the mechanism. So it requires a lot of people intoning Om of a certain pitch over a definite length of time to see it change in his structure logic. That's why you have your prayer meetings and all these things in group chat, and it's the sustained, I call it the endurance technique, that gets the job done. But it does work, so don't kid yourself. All we have done to that particular approach is to shorten the time span by recording the frequency and the pitch and getting it to be amplified and played on a long, consistent tape replay into the free location, and then it will fulfill the required length of time of exposure and the amplification to be audible, to recognize, and the result of the transformation is speeded up. And that's basically where we are, and the units were made and no one knew what they were for. So we now got them cleared up, so you can actually correct a lot of our problems by identifying where the parts are and just send the sound over. So it's a sort of a cleaning out process and lining it up.
Adama, in using this tool, when you get into areas of the body where a lot of trauma has been stored, are you going to be bypassing the pain of the trauma, or are you going to re-experience these emotions and release them?
It has many effects.
Different people.
And of course, some people will yawn, others will cough. That tells your therapist or the person that is working with it is breaking through. And some people will burp, some will hiccup, and some will cry, some will laugh, and some will swear and obscenity and edit, and some will go through all kind of mental charades. So far, that is satisfactory to the therapist, but it's not conclusive to the therapist until they're fought. Yeah. Then we know we have a conclusive correction.
I don't know. There's a part.
It's an exhaust exchange of the interstitial functioning and the peristaltic functioning of the body, where that saliva has precipitated down back through the enzymic action into the body. It doesn't have a complete residual outlet until the pressure shoots out via the exhaust area of the body. And the exhaust area of the body is not the mouth or the nose, where sneeze or hiccup or yell is. It's through the anal pressure. So that's like a car. And your car does shoot out air in the back, cold air or pop. That's evidence of it. Cleaning and so forth without any residue hitting the carburetor.
So it's good to fart.
Yes.
Because then you're releasing it.
Yes, you're releasing the actual traumatic residue of the individual's frustration. And you'll notice that it's really good. See, no. We say this.
I work hard.
No, you see, what is the mantra for that is that it goes on height. And the fart is goes on tight.
Good and tight.
Yeah. And the burp and the hiccup is goes on good. So if you got goes on loose, you know you got. Okay, tomorrow we'll take the machines, I'll get you tuned up, and then we'll go over and then let you work with each other. And then we'll do a clearing out of your own system so that you don't pick up the negative replay of sonics from the people you work on or come in contact in your own body. Mm-hmm.
How in the world do you get that?
That's
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. You'll learn all that, you'll see it, and then you get it more. In the meantime, take all your zones and the entrance exits. But I'll give you one more indication. The color also has an emotional discharge because they fall within different parts of your anatomy. And for that reason, when you're working your way back up to the head, you will find your emotional discharge would be indicative of the area where the color falls in. So if you're pissed off at somebody, you feel the tension coming from here in the genital areas. If you can't tell a person off, you're going to feel it in certain areas. If you're disappointed, you'll feel it in certain areas. So wherever that emotional stress comes up in you as you're correcting it, or in another person, they'll fall in one of the color ranges. So that's how we know that the person, sometimes when you're working with them, they say, oh boy, I feel so red, so green. Mm-hmm. You're actually indicating the area where the stress level has locked on into the spectrum. Like two nights ago, I was traveling back from Texas to Santa Fe, and I stopped in Friday night in Thursday night, because it's Thursday night in San Antonio to visit some people to deliver some stuff and work on a couple of patients. So they introduced me to somebody for this 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:10 in the morning in the restaurant, two people, and they were all going through all kind of emotional talk, glad to meet, but they have their mind frame set, and then they say, you know, we got to eat this food, and they show us the food they had in the plate, and I'm laughing, and says, so my host says, why are you laughing, man? I was like, I ask a crazy question. I said, tell your friends, I need you to. Ask you a crazy question. I said, sure. What color comes to your mind when you think of the food you've just ordered? And he looked at the, well, it's like black and white, but I don't know, I feel blue all over. He looks at the food, what they ordered. It's gravy and bread they order. What do you call it? Cream gravy? Mm-hmm. Milk cream gravy? With a little black spots in it or whatever. But he feels blue all over. And the wife, she says, I feel stucky, bluish. That's the color they get when they think of it. So I said, fine, thank you, I appreciate it. I hope you don't mind. He said, no. We walk away. Then I said to my friend Jim, he said, no, you know what's the bugging them? They're disappointed they can't do it at that time in the morning. They just finished work. So they felt okay. The body is a peculiarly funny thing. Where is the blue located?
Throat. Okay. Can't right. Talk.
Mm-hmm. He would like to go home and after work where? And be with his wife? Mm-hmm. But he's got to get up to go out. She's got to go to work.
Go to work.
Yeah. He's got to take her. Got her quickly working. So he's tore up the feeling.
And not expressing it to each other, probably.
That's right. So they go order something to indicate what? A sedating food. That'll put weight on them.
Biscuits and gravy.
And feel blue about it. Now, a red light tells you to do what?
Stop.
And a green light tells you to do what?
Go.
And yellow?
Caution.
No, go like mad. Just gosh, I thought we're gonna like mad. You got a bum knee?
Yeah, this one.
How long been bothering you?
For about 3 or 4 years.
Or is there something stored in there if it's not conscious in there, if it's not a conscious feeling?
The healing falls in 3 levels. The initial break or scar, whatever it is there. And the first stage of healing is to seal off that spot, so it's no antagonism or anguish to the eye. And then the sensation of pain is residual. So periodically you have some kind of agitation from the residual pain. There also there may be a residual swelling in the area. But you can cope with it, and you'll do things to help yourself to cope with it. But finally, after 15 years, the brain will start pushing you to confront the condition to release the trauma that caused it. Not before then.
Okay, now this is really an out there question. But I was in an accident once, and it involved breaking these 2 teeth. So these are not real teeth anymore. So that if that trauma was released really appropriately, would these teeth grow back?
No, it won't. Is not a possibility. I couldn't say yes. I'm not going to say yes to that, because then the possibility of it going back, yes. But that's a very secondary condition. What it would be in that, when the trauma is released, would be that there would be no residual sensation of pain in that area or any kind of anguish in that area. But as far as going back, that is a secondary condition.
But for example, you know, beavers grow their teeth back all the time.
I know.
Yeah, but that's primary for them. They need those teeth.
Right, but I mean, since we, you know, we have these three frequencies,
the human being has 3 periods for the teeth. The one you're born with, then when that is phased out, they call that the milk teeth, then the actual teeth comes in now. And that's their second phase. And then there's a 3rd phase that comes back after 60s or 70s. They may grow back. 80% do, 20% don't.
Your teeth may grow back into your mouth? In other words, you would shed the teeth twice? And
that's if you didn't put in any bridge plate or work or anything. If you put in bridge plate, it wouldn't do it. But it will give you irritation. Now, Lahir Mayasha grew back his entire mouth in his 2nd set of teeth. And that's a fact. And so that's possible. You have a lot of people like that. Many people who live in the primal societies do grow back a 2nd set.
Why couldn't it push out any metal work?
It will. 9 times out of 10, it will not. 1 time out of 10, it will push it out. The reason being because it's already traumatized by the work done to that area. So the synapses are shut down. So there's a possibility. You can't say not. Nothing is impossible. Even the tooth fairy will do work. So that's not the one. What you have is by nature 3 sets of teeth. Now, if you don't have any bridge work done to it, or any treatment or minerals to do it, then the possibility of the 2nd, which is the 3rd period, comes back. You have 1 milk tooth period when you're born, and that set of teeth is called the milk tooth period. Then after that falls out, then you have the adult teeth that comes in, and then if that isn't cared for, you have a breakdown, and you have to do all kinds of dental work with that. That's the one they try to save. Now, if you, after that you have 1 more, which makes the 3rd set, and it can rebuild itself. It's late in life, in the 70s. But it'll come.
And that would only be if you.